Welcome to the Sports Scouting Report Podcast with Lee Brekeen.
Hey everyone, you're listening to the Sports Scouting Report. I'm your host, Lee Brekeen. Our co-host today is Jace Lejeune. Jace is here with us. We're going to talk probably some NFL draft and information. It snuck up on me. I got to be honest with you. I think it was in June when I was growing up, but obviously Jace is reminding me it's in May. Technically, they're so close together, but I wasn't even, you know, my mind's been on the magazine. We're working on the preview magazine, our 26th year, and also, you know, we're working on our podcast shows every week. Monday, we've got a great guest, Aaron Singleton, the head track coach from Edna Carr High School, joins us, who coaches a lot of these football players, and he's got a phenomenal track performer that's going to be a potential Olympic person one day. We'll save his name for the show Monday. But you don't want to miss Monday's show with Aaron Singleton, track coach for Edna Carr. They're actually in a contention to win a state championship in track.
Not a surprise based on how every year in football their speed is just phenomenal.
Yeah, and you know the secret now.
So, yeah.
We're going to talk about the LSU spring game. We're going to spend a lot of time on that. And basically, my angle on it today with the show is just talking about individual players that I thought looked better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, everybody can go about the scheme, and they're not going to throw the schemes. They're going to run in the spring. It's vanilla every year. But for the fan that just wants to hear about some guys, just I keep up on it. You know, I've been doing it forever, but just seeing improvement. Jace, before we start talking LSU, anything you want to throw out on the baseball world? I know high school playoffs are this week.
Yep.
You're going to be doing the Catholic New Iberia at Episcopal.
Yep. 5 versus 12 for Division III on the playoff rankings. And just like when I did for football, like when you had Newman and, you had LCA and you had all the Notre Dame. It's going to be just like that in baseball. It should be really competitive and really tight. And yeah, Episcopal has a tough early match. You can't overlook Catholic New Iberia because they, even though they come in with a losing record, they did defeat some really good teams that Episcopal has seen this year.
Yeah, Catholic and New Iberia, they got a lot of football players on that team too, like Episcopal does. And then, you know, locally you got St. Michael's traveling to Evangel Christian in baseball, mm-hmm. which is interesting. I think I really think St. Michael's can beat Evangel in baseball. And Evangel at one time was dominant in baseball. They're mm-hmm. still really good. And it's going to be at Evangel Christian. And look, Catholic High Bears are in it.
Yeah. They're sure usually good, really good under Coach Bass.
Jesuits so. Always in it. Mm-hmm. You know, Brother Martin.
You know, in 5A public, Barb is going to be the favorite.
They're the one. I mean, that's mm-hmm. like talking about the Yankees in Louisiana.
Yep.
I mean, Barb is a. It's one of the best programs for a sport in the country. I mean, I don't know how we'd rank them. I know there's so many great baseball teams, Jace.
Yeah, Dust Channel's having a really good year. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. So it's gonna be really interesting to see how this all shakes up.
Yeah, we might have a lot of state champions again from both sides of the state. You know, there's a lot of good baseball at West Monroe and Neville. They have a good baseball team. A lot of good baseball. North, South Louisiana, a lot of good baseball in Lake Charles.
Oh, yes. And
Lake Charles is becoming like the baseball city.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Usually in football, you would probably argue like New Orleans or, really Baton Rouge has come along late in football, North Louisiana. But for baseball, Lake Charles seems like it's king.
Oh, man. You got Ethan Fry committed to LSU as a catcher from Rose Pine. He's 6'4", 230.
Yeah, was a really good quarterback
he
for him,
three
too.
Three home runs in a game last week. Mm-hmm. You don't hear that very often. There's several kids in Lake Charles from Sam Houston, Barb, Sulphur, all those schools that have commitments to D1 Power 5 baseball programs.
Oh, yeah.
And, Jace, I counted up. There's over 17 – almost 20 committed the next 2 years.
Incredible.
From just like Charles.
Yeah.
And about five of them are from Barb.
Yeah.
But they're at Sam Houston, they're at Sulphur. I mean, they're everywhere in the Lake Charles area. Rose Pine, like I mentioned, Ethan Fry, who's a catcher. Look, LSU needs a catcher that can hit home runs and can field. They need a 6'4 catcher. you know, he would help LSU a lot next year. Maybe get some NIL money and he'll skip the draft, maybe.
And their coach at Barb just got his 1,000th baseball win.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Barb is just, man, powerhouse. And look, let's go ahead and go on LSU football.
Yeah, definitely.
I watched the game. I know you were at a drag race.
In, Houston.
Baytown, Texas.
Yeah, Baytown, Texas. Yeah.
They've got a – I'll let you tell your story when we're done.
But, sure.
I know you had a heck of a little wait there getting into the
– I'll tell my story at the end. Yeah. I'll save it for the end.
But if you like drag racing, I know Jason, his dad, always go to the drag races all over the – around the South and especially Texas. But we're going to talk LSU football. I watched the spring game, and I saw a lot of improvement with players, Jace. And you can tell that Kelly's staff is very articulate with development. You know, there's one thing to say, hey, I'm going to develop you, and then watch a guy being developed. Like, you can tell that in just 3 months that this staff is already a better coaching staff and a better developing hands-on teaching staff than the prior one.
Yep.
Not throwing anybody under the bus. Right, I'm just being, like, honest. I was watching the D-line. And LSU's had a lot of good D-lines over the years. The last 2 years, they underachieved, in my opinion.
Yeah.
And a lot of guys didn't come back. But this group, you can tell their coaching and the pep and the step of these guys, they're having fun again. And you can tell their discipline. You can tell that they don't want to disappoint Coach Kelly. But you can also tell that he's got his hand on top of everything that needs to be done, and everything is being done the right way. I just see that in their effort in the spring game. I saw a little lollygagging in the past, last two years, like not all focused.
Sure.
That is half of the battle.
Yep.
If you're a disciplined team, you're going to win games. So that I want to throw out there.
That's what everybody, if you interviewed every LSU football player on this team, everybody said accountability. Everybody throws that word out, and you can tell you that everybody is in it for each other. It's not individual.
And that's half the battle. The only team you got to worry about beating for talent is Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
But everybody else.
And you don't have to worry about Georgia, because unless you go in the SEC championship game.
And they have a battle. They're not Bama built yet.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I know they've recruited well, but I watched their spring game. They got a lot of holes, and they had got, you know, God bless that walk-on quarterback that want to stay.
Yes, Stetson Bennett,
but they don't have the D-line they had last year, and that D-line was incredible.
You'll see all of them in the first round coming up Thursday.
Five D-linemen for Georgia gone. And look, nobody ever talks about it. They just go, oh, Georgia's going to be great again. Anyway, they're not as good as they were. I'm not saying they're going to go 7-5, but I don't think they're like, you know, 10-2, maybe like
you'll see. I mean, you'll probably see him in the SEC championship game come December.
Maybe.
Yeah.
The one guy that stuck out to me that's evolved is Nussmeier.
Yeah, I mean, based off, I watched it a little bit yesterday, but if you just told me based on yesterday who had the best, I would say Nussmeier with the best.
Nussmeier can do things the other quarterbacks can't do, and that's throw on the run and throw with a purpose and throw with a needle, meaning he can hit spots.
Yeah.
Now that he's matured, and I told people this last year, you know, and I've just watched football forever, some guys can't evolve as an 18-year-old freshman. You're just not ready.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't say physically, just mentally.
Sure, right.
You can tell he has mentally evolved. Now when he's rolled out and he's pressured, he's under control. And he's calm. And Jace, when he makes throws, he's trying to complete the pass, not just throw crazy balls. Because again, he's different. He's matured.
He throws. You can tell he throws with a lot more confidence than I've seen with Daniels and Brennan. He just throws it with a lot more swagger and confidence. And you know that about him.
And there's a lot of energy with him.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And you know, a lot of this job is, do you have the team behind you? I know they mentioned that during the game.
Yeah, they did. I think on the broadcast they mentioned, what do the teammates, who does the team really want to rally up behind?
And the other thing is leadership. He is a gung-ho kid.
Mm-hmm.
The other two guys are good quarterbacks. I just, when it comes down to it, who is going to bring you to the promised land in the end? I think Nussmeier is the guy with the big package of stuff that can, I mean, he could bring him to the promised land.
Yeah,
Brennan's been waiting his turn. I'm a fan of Brennan.
Yeah,
had a lot of bad luck with injuries.
Mm-hmm.
He can't move like
Russ
can.
Right.
And Den Brock, the coordinator, he wants a guy that's mobile. Now, Jaden Daniels is a phenomenal running quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
And I see packages for him to come in on third and threes or fours to just, like, Saban's going to be like, how do we stop this guy?
Mm-hmm.
But Brennan, if I was Brennan, I would stay and finish it out because you're one injury away from being the starter.
Exactly.
So, in my opinion, Nuss will start. Brennan will be the guy that can come in and do
right.
it. And then Daniels would be a situational guy until he gets
mm-hmm.
better as a thrower.
Yeah.
He's got to be able to throw underneath, and he struggled throwing underneath. And I saw him do that at Arizona State. And he threw the long ball.
Yeah, it's really been really the conventional three-step drop back throw, timing routes, timing throws, and those are the throws you have to make if you want to start, especially in the SEC. And that's the thing he needs to work on the most.
And Walker Howard, a red shirt, because he needs to get another year of maturity, not talent wise.
Oh, like on this roster, you can definitely tell like highest ceiling, highest upside is Walker Howard, but he's like you mentioned, he's a freshman coming in,
and
he needs that time.
Nussmeier's going to be special, I think.
Oh yeah.
That's why I think my opinion, going in the fall, going in the summer, I had him going 9-3, maybe 10-3 with a bowl win to like a mid-major bowl, like the Music City or something like that.
Right.
Or maybe slip in a Cotton if
you could. Yeah, if you go 10-2, that will be a New Year's Six bowl.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think they can do better than that because the discipline is back to the old Saban days. When they hired Kelly, the first thing I thought of, Jace, was Nick Saban.
Mm-hmm.
And there aren't a lot of Sabans out there.
And think about it, he has a more impressive resume when he got hired than because when the time when Saban was hired, Saban wasn't the Nick Saban we know him now.
Yeah. We're going to take a break when we come back. I want to talk about the D-line and some of the D-line guys and how they're going to be phenomenal and how, you know, they've improved. You know, you can get a big guy on campus, say he moves well, he's highly recruited, he's got all these stars, but what does he look like in a Tiger uniform? And can he transfer that over? And that's something I saw in the spring game. We'll be right back. Listen, whatever you're driving right now, Tommy Harvey wants it. Bring it in to Harvey Subaru, Lexus of Shreveport, Bossier City, or John Harvey Toyota. They're paying big bucks for all trades right now. They'll cut you a check right there. Tell them Lee sent you. Welcome back. You listen to Sports Scouting Report. I want to thank a sponsor before we get back to LSU football, Treads and Care. Which is in Central, and you can get their Park Place Drive in Hooper Road, owned by Devin Holly. I've known Devin for several years. If you need a tire of any brand or you need a pickup and delivery, they'll come get you and bring you your vehicle, too. You can give them a call at 225-331-8144. And, look, we appreciate our advertisers. Do business with them. Please help them. They support us to allow us to be on air with the podcast that we do today and, you know, everything we do. Getting back to LSU, Jace, you know, D-line's three spots. You got nose guard, DN, D-tackle, and then you got outside linebacker, Buck, which is really a DN.
That was one of two position groups that really impressed me in the spring game.
Ollie Gay is 10 pounds heavier.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Kelly didn't want him to be skinny, 260, which he carried it good.
Yeah.
But now
he's always been carrying it good.
But
yeah.
Ollie Gay's 270 now. He looks like he's going to be tougher the block. I always thought Ollie was about 10 pounds under because he couldn't take on the blocks.
Yeah.
He can always run.
Mm-hmm.
And then you've got your defensive end, B.J. Ojulari.
Ojulari, yeah.
He's 250 now from 235. And he still runs a 4.5 40 at 6'3". He's going to be a 12.
Yeah, he's always been a really good pass rusher for him.
You know, Mason Smith is turning the
corner. He looks like a man.
At Terrebonne, and I'll say what I said 2 years ago. He looks the part, and now he's not only looking the part now, he's actually arrived.
Uh-huh, yeah.
And Mason is sculptured. 6'5", 300, running a 4.
You know, you create your own Madden player. That's something that would probably, it would be something like him I would build.
And Mason can play all three spots. I mean, he can play
DN. He can. Yep.
Actually, all four.
We seen him do it last year. Yeah. Even play defensive end last year.
They finally have the pass rushers, Jace. Multiple ones. Mm-hmm. If BJ gets tired, you can bring in Little, who's been with the team 4 years. He's heavier now from Mobile, Alabama. If he gets tired, you can bring in Roy to come in.
And you still have Jaquelin Roy. You still have Jacobian Guillory.
Yeah, and they all look better. Yeah. They all look quicker. They all look like they're getting better coached. And in Langston, the redshirt freshman from Florida.
He's looked good.
He looked really good.
He did, yep.
He looked like a young, raw Marcus Spears. He's just a brute guy that you can't block him.
He had a couple of bad balls. He was
had a sack. He looks a little bit like a Neil Farrell on his way to being a Neil. And look, Neil's going to go high in the draft. We'll talk about that later.
Right. You got the Missouri transfer coming
Bingo. Yeah. Mm-hmm. He's a stud. Yeah. I mean, they actually have 12, 13 guys that – Savion Jones is going to be a stud.
Savion Jones. And you saw Madison Prep. Wiggins got a fumble recovery in the game.
Wiggins
is going
to be a phenomenal player. He's a baby early enrolled.
Yeah, he is.
You know what, 6'6", 280 of muscle. Now he's like put on 20 pounds. It's high school.
Mm-hmm.
Runs a 4'7", 40, 4'6".
Yep.
He's a freak. Him and Savion are going to be incredible. And then look, they're backing up BJ.
Yeah, right.
You know, they're backing up Ollie Gay.
Ollie Gay, yeah.
I mean, when has LSU had a Savion Jones come off the bench and a guy like this kid, too? I mean, they have four phenomenal pass rushers that are going to be high NFL draft picks.
And I think and the good news with this coaching staff, you're going to see these guys rotate a lot more than last year. And that's been a problem. You had these same guys on the bench last year, but you didn't really see them rotate in as much, and I believe you'll see that a lot more this year.
And let me tell you who impressed me the most outside of Nussmeier was the pickup from ULL and Lafayette, Meeky Garner.
Yeah.
Meeky Garner is a freak corner.
He doesn't look like your normal normal cornerback.
If you could package a corner and put shoulder pads on him and say, I want a 6'2".
It's like 215.
215 corner that runs a 4.45 and has a 40 vertical. I want a Meeky Garner. And Meeky Garner plays with a passion. And he when I watched him run stride for stride with Brian Thomas on that out pass.
Mm-hmm.
Right. He was right in his face, and it was a perfect thrown ball by Nuss.
Yeah, it was.
But he was on him like he was 180.
I
mean, it's a 215-pound kid, 6'2", running stride for stride
with Brian Thomas.
With Brian Thomas down the field. You know what that tells me? This guy can go to with Alabama receivers.
Oh, yeah.
With anybody. I mean, 215.
There's one thing to be that big, but when you're running with those guys, that's scary.
And the other thing that impressed me for people listening that didn't see the spring game, or maybe you did and you were eating a hot dog not watching or whatever, but – the running back.
I was going to say one of two position groups that impressed me were defensive line and running backs. That was the other one.
And let me say this. I think Coach Kelly's holding back on that. You know, coaches always hold back a little bit. They hold back on bragging or, like, saying anything.
And Nolan Kane has even arrived yet.
There is a reason Corey Kiner left.
Mm-hmm.
Corey Kiner saw the writing on the wall that he wasn't going to be first, second, or third team.
Right.
If you watch the spring game, Trey Bradford.
Yeah.
Who I saw something
big
in him two years ago. He is grown into a man.
Yeah, he looked really big out there.
Trey is 215, 220, 6'1".
Yeah.
And he looks like, I'm not saying he's this guy, but I'm talking about his running style. Looks like an Adrian Peterson when he gets an open
field. He grew a lot. Yeah, just that really shocked me, seeing what he did.
I mean, and then John Emery looks like the John Emery
we've
been waiting
for. Goodwin looks like another Clyde. I mean, really.
Kevin Falk.
Mm-hmm, yep.
And now you know Goodwin was hurt last year and he never got over the injury. You never saw that burst. So you got three really great backs.
And I liked how Josh Williams ran the ball. He ran hard.
He's the spring MVP every week. Every
year. Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
He's the walk-on that got the scholarship from it. So you got him, but Kane comes in.
That's what I said.
He gives you power.
Mm-hmm.
So they don't need another running back. I thought they did, but after watching spring
they're set at running back after what I saw in the spring.
But Trey Bradford is going to be a problem for people. And I'm going to tell you something. Him and Emery and Kane as a group.
Ooh, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, they're five deep. They're five deep at running back.
And in the linebacking core, they only start two. But I thought Micah Bakersfield looks a little quicker.
Mm-hmm.
I did watch Wes Weeks. It came from Virginia.
Yep.
He looked pretty good as a backup.
Mm-hmm. You still have Mike Jones.
Mike Jones looks better.
Yeah, he does. Yep.
And he's bigger and he's faster. And look, they got a lot of linebackers behind them. Some of the DBs were out, so you can't really judge the whole unit. Mm-hmm. Bernard didn't play from Oklahoma State.
Yeah, Bernard Converse didn't play. Yep.
The pickup from Ohio State didn't play.
Right, right.
Joe Fouquetre is going to be great.
Yeah, he played he played in spring game. Yep.
And Greg Brooks is going to give you a great year from Arkansas. Mm-hmm. And look, Boutte didn't even play, and the receiving core is phenomenal.
Yeah, the receiving core is good. You saw Lacey out there getting running some routes, and you know he's going to be the big time threat. Neighbors had a couple impressive catches. He really did.
I think Malik Neighbors, Besh.
Besh is going to be a stud.
And Lacey and Boutte, those are your four. And then Thomas.
Yeah.
I mean, who's going to roll?
Not a bad fifth option.
Who's going to roll five out better than that?
Uh-huh. Yep.
And look, Thomas has put on weight. He's arrived. Neighbors has put on weight. He's arrived. Mm-hmm.
Besh has already proven what he can do. I mean, Boutte has already proven what he can do.
So what are the weaknesses? Since we're bragging about everything, there's two, but I think two can get corrected. One,
tight end. Yep.
And they're going to pick up a stud tight end in the next few days.
Mm-hmm. And Taylor actually didn't look that bad out there, which is probably need some depth there.
He just doesn't block.
Yeah.
He's a finesse 6'7".
Yeah. He's a receiving option you can throw out there. Yeah.
So really all you have is Mashburn.
Mashburn, who can block.
And the true freshman tight end coming in from Florida.
Mason Taylor.
And so they need a big tight end. They'll get
that can probably do a little bit of both. That can block and catch. Yeah.
And then they did get Stortz back. Stortz from the
baseball team. I heard about that. Yep.
He actually played in a spring game. But I think if they get the stud tight end, which they will, I think the O-line will evolve.
And that's been another question mark is the O-line.
Yeah, that's the other one. But you know what? They're always late to evolve. Mm-hmm. Remember when Burrow in 19, everyone was like, oh, the O-line's not good. And
shows you what a good quarterback can do.
Good quarterback. But that's what I'm going to say about this team. I don't think the O-line's going to be dominant, but you don't have to be dominant to win a national championship on your O-line. Look, ask Clemson.
Mm-hmm.
Clemson's never had a great O-line.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But they've had the quarterbacks.
Yep.
And the running backs.
That can make up for pass protection. If Nussmeier or Brennan, whoever is your starting quarterback, come the fall, they just get the ball in their hands really quick and know where to go with it.
Yeah.
That'll defeat a good pass rush, and that'll help your O-line out.
And look, I'm not saying Joe Burrow's O-line was bad. It just wasn't.
They were better than expected.
They won
coming
the Joe Moore
yep.
Award.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm just talking about dominant. They weren't a dominant
group. Right.
But this kid Martinez sat out from Florida. He didn't play in a spring game. Dellinger didn't play in a spring game. Bradford didn't play in a spring game.
Yep.
There were a lot of O-linemen not playing. And I did watch him.
I know everybody was paying attention to what Will Campbell would do at
Will's
tackle.
Will's going to be a first-round pick one day.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to be a better O-line because Coach Kelly, that's his wheelhouse.
Yep.
And between Emory Jones.
That and tight ends, which is the weaknesses they're trying to straighten out.
I think he'll take another O-lineman in the next few days in the transfer portal. It's going to be a stud. They didn't get the guy from Vandy, that Steen, that went to Alabama. But I think they'll get one more tight end, one more O-lineman, and I think they'll get these two transfer O-linemen back in shape where they need to be for fall. Remember, we have summer.
Mm-hmm.
But the O-line, once Dillinger comes back, I think Martinez and Turner will be good centers. The guards, I think Thomas is finally
going to play. Yep.
He's really looking better. He's getting in shape. When he's in shape, he's a great player. He's had an injury. He had some stuff happen, so he's back. I think they're going to be fine. And, look, again, it's all about being a structured, disciplined team. 20 wasn't structured. 21 wasn't structured. 22, this team looks like they're going to be a team. And I'm excited for LSU fans. I'm excited for Kelly because I've seen this happen before. You can tell. You can just feel it. And I was telling some ex-LSU player friends of mine the other day, I'm like, man, y'all feel that, huh? That you can feel that they all care to be a team again.
Yeah, and he's won at places where there are a lot less resources than what he has at LSU. And even at Notre Dame, I mean, he won with what he can really, you know, what he was dealt with. And he did that at Cincinnati, Western Michigan, Central Michigan, whatever he's been there, he's been able to win a lot. So LSU, this is the most resources. He has the resources to win the national championship. And, you know, what his pedigree comes from, he can run a program. I mean, like you said, we had three different coaches win national championships, and this guy, he's just as good as any of those three.
I want to mention one other thing. Xavier Carter, who's a sophomore from Atlanta, he comes from the same school as Arden Key.
Yeah, he had a good spring game last year. Yep.
He's put the weight on. Mm-hmm. He's another pass rusher.
Yep.
He runs a 4.5. He's 6'3 and a half, 220. They got him at 210. He might end up with five or six sacks, but I've been waiting for LSU to have several pass rushers because you kind of have envy toward Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
You watch Alabama play, Jason, they always have five guys that can rush the passer, even when they're playing freshmen. Now LSU's finally got that. And look, I think Kelly loves being the underdog right now. You know, I think he loves hearing, oh, they'll win seven. I think he loves that. I think that's great motivation, too, to say, you know what? People don't think we can do anything this year. But I'm sure in that locker room he's saying, we can do things this year. And I really see it. Now, I'm not saying they're going to win a national championship.
Right.
I'm not saying they're going to the playoffs.
Yeah, but if you win 10 games this year, you're back to a really good starting point.
But I'm saying this team could shock a lot of people in the end, because if you have a great quarterback and a great defense like they're going to have, you can do a lot. And there's only one team LSU can't beat talent-wise right now is Alabama. And you know what? It's at home. And by that time, it might be a battle. Hey, anything's possible.
You also look at injuries, that stuff like that can play a factor. And it's going to be really – I'm excited for this season because of what Arkansas has been able to do, Ole Miss with Kiffin. I mean, everybody's talking, hyping up a Jimbo Fisher train and A&M. Yeah. What can they do?
Let's do one more segment or two. We'll do small ones, two more. Before we go to break, I want to thank John Harvey Toyota. Thank you for your – support John Harvey Subaru and Lexus of Shreveport Bossier City. Low prices, honest people. Tell them Lee sent you. They support high school college football. Also Gage. Gage has served Louisiana for over 40 years. Let Gage create a custom tailored solution for your business and become your partner in technology. Give them a call today at 225-753-4243 and help your business get better connected with Gage in Baton Rouge. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back. We'll talk about some of the SEC teams. We'll be right back. If you need a paint job or repairs to your vehicle, go see Medin's Collision Center located in Baton Rouge, Louisiana on Kincaid Avenue. The number to call is 357-7983. That's 357-7983. Your Baton Rouge Accident Advisors. Welcome back. You listen to the Sports Scouting Report. I'm your host, Lee Burkeen. I want to thank another sponsor. Jason, I want to share this. I referred a client of mine to Gros Savon, and they went fishing this past weekend, and they had a great time. Paul Solvant with the Bug Man, owns Bug Man Pest Control here in Baton Rouge, a good friend of mine. Paul said he had an incredible trip. He took some of his employees.
About
to Gros Savon, the lodge. You stay overnight. They feed you like a king. They caught 30-plus bass in like a couple of hours. They had a great time. I think one of his guys went saltwater fishing on his trip. But give them a call, Gros Savon Lodge, the true sportsman's paradise, right outside of Lake Charles, south of Lake Charles. Book your trip, 337-593-2357, 337-598-2357. Trust me, if you like to fish and hunt, you'll get addicted, and you'll want to go back to Gros Savon. The SEC, Jace, is going to be wide open outside Alabama, obviously. Tennessee, I think they've done some great things.
They're a dark horse this year. Yep.
Georgia, you know, everybody's going to pick them to go back to Atlanta. I'm not. Florida, you know, Billy Napier is going to do a good job, but can he last? I mean, the last two coaches were good coaches. Ole Miss, Kiffin, I don't think they're disciplined teams. State, Leach, I don't know if that offense will work.
Yeah.
I think he's a genius, but I don't know if State could actually survive with that offense in the SEC.
Yeah, I mean, it's put up pretty good. I mean, of course, they're going to throw every play, so they're going to lead the SEC in passing for sure. But, yeah, really, I don't think really putting the points on the board and really getting into the red zone, it doesn't really work. So there are definitely a lot of deficiencies when you look at Mississippi State and their offense.
And then you look at Arkansas, Coach Sam Pittman. You got to love him when you hear him talk. It's like Jerry Clower, man. It's like if you're a mom, you can't tell him dad. It's like everybody's dad, right? But Sam Pittman has also been good because LSU's down.
Yep.
And now LSU's back. So it's trouble for Arkansas, and Ole Miss is better, and State's a little better. So
Auburn, you never know what team is going to be out there.
I'm going to tell you what. I'll watch the Auburn spring game. I don't see Auburn winning more than 7 games. Mm-hmm. The talent level there is not
what it used to be. Right.
They got one great running back. Mm-hmm. They got an average O-line, average defense. I've never seen them so untalented on defense and not stocked with talent, you know, and not a big-time receiver.
And they have a quarterback competition going on, too, and you're not really sure who's going to be out of quarterback for them.
Well, that's not going to end well because Finley wants to start.
You have Calzada.
Calzada.
Who started at A&M last year.
Beat Alabama.
Yeah, right.
And then LSU beat Calzada.
Right? Uh-huh, yep.
And now Calzada doesn't want to be a backup when he was a starter at A&M. And Finley, he doesn't want to be a backup, so yeah. Somebody's going to leave.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't think the Auburn thing is going to work now that LSU's going toward the right direction.
Yeah.
Bama's not declining. And Georgia's going to still be beating Auburn, I think.
Right. Yeah, Tennessee is definitely a team you have to watch out for this year, and they're definitely a dark horse. You don't know what Florida's going to do with Napier in his first year.
And can Kentucky sustain with all these guys going to the NFL draft?
Mm-hmm.
And on that note, which I don't think Kentucky will sustain, they had some special guys.
Yeah.
Darryl Rosenthal, we'll talk about that. One more when we come back. NFL draft, we'll talk about
sure.
it a little bit. We'll be right back. Be sure to take your car and truck for all your tire needs to Treads and Care Tire Company located in Central. The number to call is 331-8144. Family owned and operated since 1971. That's Treads and Care Tire Company. Welcome back. You listen to the Sports Scouting Report. I'm your host, Lee Burkeen. Jace Lejeune is our co-host. I want to thank another sponsor of ours. Medin's Collision Center in Baton Rouge. Be sure to give them a call if you need any body work on your car or truck. They're on Kincaid Avenue in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Give them a call at 357-7983. That's 357-7983. Chris and Domenica Medin will treat you right. I mean, they are great people, family owned since the 60s. If you need to paint any work, body work to your car or truck, that's where you need to take it. They love sports, big supporters of ours. The NFL draft is in May, which is here.
Yeah, Thursday. Yep.
And
actually, the first round though have already been done by the time we've done this show.
Isn't that crazy?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So Darryl Rosenthal will probably get drafted, Kentucky.
Yeah. They do first round Thursday, and then the rest of the draft Friday and Saturday. So you'll probably know Darryl Rosenthal will go probably Friday or Friday or Saturday.
I think Neil Farrell will go high for LSU. Obviously, Stingley will be a top 10 pick.
Oh, yeah. You'll hear his name already called by the time the show is done.
Could be a top 3 pick.
Yep.
But, but definitely.
He's either him or Garner, I believe, is the first cornerback that's going to be taken. Either him or Garner from Cincinnati.
You got a lot of talent, you know. It's going to be interesting to see where Dakless, if he gets drafted or not.
Yeah.
We'll see. I mean, there's some fringe players at LSU. You don't know where they're going to go in this one. Even Ty.
Davis Price. Yeah.
You just don't know where he's going to go in the draft. You know
right.
what I mean? I would take him, but, I mean, I don't think he's a first or second
round guy. He'll probably be a third, fourth round guy.
Yeah. You'll hear some Tech guys called, Louisiana Tech. You got a couple at Tulane. Northwestern might have a draft pick. Southeastern, Cole Kelly,
yeah.
And maybe a couple of guys at Southeastern.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Nichols will have a couple
of guys. Dajon Dixon is going to be a guy that will get drafted probably third, fourth round, you know.
Their old lineman from Franklinton will get a camp invite at least.
Burkhalter. Yeah, I'm sure he'll be drafted fifth round or something like that.
Nice has a DN that might get
Chambers might get drafted, yeah. There was some pretty good talent in the Southland Conference when I called this year.
LSU, it's going to be kind of a weird draft for them.
Yeah.
You don't know how many are going to be free agents or how many are going to be late draft picks.
You also have Damone Clark. I mean, with the injury, I mean, if you've heard that he's going to sit out his rookie year because of the injury, had some setbacks to it. So How does that affect his draft stock? He might go to the second round because of announcement.
He might go to the third round as a steal.
Yeah.
I take him in the third round.
Yeah, just take your chances, you know, already knowing that you're going to be with Allen his first year. And
winning team might do it.
Sure, that needs some depth. Yep.
Maybe a Belichick takes a shot on him, or a Harbaugh at the Ravens maybe because they're winning, you know.
Yep.
Not as much as lately, but.
Sure. But you have Lamar Jackson, I'm sure they can.
I'm going to watch my Steelers. I want to see if the Steelers draft the quarterback from Pittsburgh.
I've heard there's going to be two quarterbacks that probably will be taken first round. That's going to be Malik Willis and Kenny Pickett. I've heard those are probably the two that will be drafted first round. And when you're talking about Matt Corral and Howell and Ritter, they'll probably be drafted later on.
Yeah, Howell I like a lot from North Carolina. I think he's a great pro prospect quarterback. I could see him fitting into Pittsburgh.
Sure.
Him or Pickett.
Yeah.
It'd be good to have a Pittsburgh guy go to the Pittsburgh
Steelers. If I'm the Saints, I really like Kenny Pickett. He would be the guy. If out of all these quarterbacks, that's who I'm pulling the trigger on.
I don't think Ritter's a star quarterback.
No, I think he's overrated, to be honest with you.
Yeah. And we'll see, you know. I mean,
Willis is a developmental guy. You don't know what you're going to get, but he has a very high ceiling, but he's a project guy.
And there's a lot of NFL teams that they're trying to see if their guys from the past draft pan out, like Chicago, you know, with our Ohio State quarterback Fields.
Mm-hmm.
If Fields has a bad year again, then they need a quarterback.
49ers have Trey Lance. What they're going to do with him?
Like, is he going to be, you know, is this going to be the year he comes around? Or are they going to just delay it like the Saints did with our BYU guy and let him run plays?
Mm-hmm.
The Saints, I have no clue what they're going to do.
And they have two first-round draft picks. So I'm keeping an eye on the Saints, see what they do with them, because they can go wide receiver. They can go left tackle, because that's where Armstead is with the Dolphins now.
Yeah.
So there are different ways that they can go. They can go quarterback if they want to, but it's going to be – I'm intrigued to see what they'll do with those two first-round picks. And they trade to get that situation.
I hope the Saints go with a big, tall, tough receiver like the kid at USC.
Yeah, he would be a really good fit. Or get a speedster like Wilson or Jameson Williams. If he, you know, if he stays there, he might get picked before that. But if he stays there, I would pick him because the Saints need a speedster, a burner, and he would be that guy.
Yeah, there's going to obviously be a lot of SEC players drafted again. They'll probably lead the draft again in total players drafted.
Yeah, I've been hearing some talk that Trayvon Walker, the Georgia defensive lineman, he might be the first overall pick. There's been I have no idea who's going to be the first overall pick. It'd be Hutchinson, him. It can. They're talking about Oregon's defensive end, Kayvon Thibodeau, and he's actually fallen a little bit.
I think he's overrated. I think he's more combine than production.
Right.
He looks like a freak of nature for the game, right? But I don't, you know, LSU tried to recruit him, by the way, because he's, you know, Thibodeau.
Sure.
He had ties to Louisiana, but I never saw him dominate at Oregon. I never did see him dominate at all. I think there's a lot of sleepers in the draft this year.
I think this is one of those years that if you have the first overall pick, you're like, can we trade down? Yeah. Like, it's one of those years that's not that dominant guy.
If I need a running back, I'm going to Michigan State. I'm taking that little back.
Oh, yeah, he's good.
He is a – he might be this year's version of Kamara. Remember how Kamara finished in Tennessee?
Right, right.
He was at Alabama, didn't play a lot. This kid didn't play a lot until he went to Michigan State.
Yep.
I mean, the Big Ten, when you dominate running in the Big Ten and he's fast, man.
And really, if you're the Saints, that's something that you would try to get your second, third round because you don't know what the situation is with Kamara. And then you have Mark Ingram, and he doesn't have – you even think he – doesn't have much years left in the tank.
And here's something to watch. Will Georgia be the first team in college football to have 3D linemen in the first round?
Yeah, Jordan Davis. I'm surprised they haven't really talked about his name being
– the pro teams have.
Yeah. Like, as far as first overall pick or, like, really up there. But I'm surprised I haven't heard his name being called. Him on the, when you're running a 4.7, 4.8, 40 at 340 pounds, I think you have to –
They might be the first team to have 3D linemen in the first round.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why Kirby Smart's going to have a tough time getting back to a national championship game. I mean, I don't care how well you recruit, but to lose 5D linemen to the draft, they're not Alabama yet, you know, on talent. They're not there yet. But Georgia, It's still going to have to beat Tennessee and Florida. Tennessee's, yep. Tennessee's coming. Florida's coming. So, and look, Kentucky can always.
Kentucky's always in the mix.
Yeah. And then Vandy, poor Vandy. Oh, my goodness. How much time are they going to give that coach? I mean, that was his first year last year.
Yeah. And Missouri actually had a couple really good recruiting classes. So, let's see if they can put that together. In the
coach with the greatest name for Missouri.
Mm-hmm.
Was it Dunka?
Yeah, it's yeah, it's slipping my mind right
we'll
now.
Pull it up. It's the craziest name you'll ever hear on a. That's why I can't remember it.
Drinkwitz, yeah, Elijah Drinkwitz.
Elijah Drinkwitz.
Elijah Drinkwitz. Yeah,
it's a unique name. But he's done a good job. But again, I feel sorry for them, Kentucky and Vandy, because I mean it's just hard to compete against Florida, Georgia, and Tennessee. And Tennessee, their coach has done a phenomenal job. I actually think they're on the verge of getting.
Yeah, he's back. Josh Heupel's done a really good job over there.
Former quarterback,
Oklahoma
quarterback, and he's done a great job of coaching and straightening that mess out in Knoxville.
Yeah,
that mess went for a long time since fall.
It did.
You know, it just seems it like did. You were a little kid back then, Jace. But uh-huh. it just seems like it was yesterday. And people listening right now would probably agree with me. But it just seems like yesterday when they had Casey Clawson and Peyton Manning and, you know, yep. Albert Haynesworth and mm-hmm. all the, you know, Bennett at linebacker. And
they went on the run.
Jamal Lewis running back. They signed the best players out of Georgia and California. And they were on top of the world. And now Tennessee is, like, trying to win 7 games a year.
Yeah, but I think Heupel's going to get this program, this, you know, historically rich in tradition college football program
and
back.
Somebody threw a golf ball at Lane Kiffin, remember, in Tennessee.
Oh, yeah.
Year?
Yeah. That was a good one to watch.
So he pulled out a golf ball, I think it was spring game. This is a funny.
Oh, this was. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, it was first pitch. He threw out the first pitch and it was a golf ball.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Against Tennessee in baseball.
Not a laughing matter. I mean, a golf ball coming out of the stands during a football game. I mean, whoa.
Yeah. That was very dangerous. Coach Kiffin could have been seriously hurt, obviously.
Don't throw that, fans.
I'm surprised he just snuck that one in.
On this note, I've got to mention, the Yankees had that the other day against mm-hmm. the Red Sox.
Yep.
They were throwing, like, cans with beer in it and liquid. And, I mean, they're throwing it at the outfielders. I mean, this is not Arena League. This ain't MMA.
Right.
This is baseball.
Uh-huh. And that's crazy.
And you saw the Yankees fan. They had the players had to go to the fans, say, stop. And then the the Red Sox outfielders were trying to get in the stands. They were like,
yeah,
you're not supposed to do that.
Right, right.
They were trying. I'm going to get you. You know? Throw a cup at me. I'm just an outfielder, man. Don't be doing that. So we're going to end the show. Everybody go to our website, LAFootballMagazine.com. Watch the draft soon. I had forgot about it, actually.
Yeah, you want me to tell that story before we go?
Yeah, you got your drags.
Yeah.
Well, this is Jace's drag race story in Baytown, Texas.
Yep, so this is the final year they have the NHRA Spring Nationals in Houston, and myself and Dad have gone every year. Dad's actually brought a lot of coaches along with him. Masterson went one year.
Oh,
and,
come on.
So I've been going every year since I was 10 years old, and unfortunately at Houston Raceway Park, this was the last year that NHRA is going to be running over there. Because the track's going to be bought out. So the owners at the track decided that they're going to take advantage of the situation knowing it's the last year. So it was me, my dad, his dad, and a buddy of mine all went. And we were on the road where the track is. And we can see the track, like, right in front of us. And, like, we can just touch it. It's
there.
We're
going to get in on time.
Yep. We're going to get on the time. So it's a two-minute drive from the track, pretty much. And then we actually got stuck behind all these cars line trying to get in the track too. Well, I was like, okay, this will probably take 30, maybe 40 minutes. 2.5 hours we were stuck in traffic. And actually, myself and my buddy Zach, we just walked. And Dad was just had to sit in traffic the whole time. Good thing we did walk because the top fuel cars, the cars that go 330 miles per hour in 30 seconds were running, and Dad missed a couple of those cars that went, and we went to the very top before we went to inside the track. So what's the reason for the delay? Well, they were taking $20 to park, and they only were using credit card.
I'm glad y'all had gas.
Yeah.
What about the people that had like a quarter of a tank? When
they were just, everybody was stuck there. You have like five different intersections, people trying to cross over. A guy, when we were walking to the track, me and my buddy, my dad was stuck in traffic. He just parked in the grassy knoll and was like, I'm just parking there, grassy field. And really, which was pretty good for him because he can just walk there and he didn't have to pay $20 in parking just to wait another hour and a half. But that was insane. After every year I've been going, they never did that. But just because it was the last year, that's what they decided to do, try to get as much bucks as they can since it is the final time they're doing that track.
It's what everybody wants to do, drive 5 hours to Houston and wait for three.
We drove 3.5 hours, Lee. We stood like for the road of the track, which took about 2 minutes to get there. That took 2.5 hours. It took almost as long for us sitting in that line
to drive there
than to drive there.
From
it was a 3.5 hour drive, and it was a 2.5 hour wait to get in. But Sunday, this happened Saturday. Sunday, we got in within 2 or 3 minutes, and everything. It was a perfect day, Saturday, Sunday. Weather was good. I'm actually sunburned. I mean, it was hot, but it didn't rain out like it did last year. So it was a good way to end the last year that they are running there. But yeah, my dad and I have to find another track to go to because Houston's closing down, and that's the closest track to us.
Well, I hope y'all go to one that's
Dallas will be the closest one to us now. So
call before you go that the wait only about 10 minutes.
I don't think we're gonna have that problem since the Dallas track. They're gonna be racing there for years to come, and it won't be the last year over there. But Houston was trying to get as much money as they possibly can since it was the last year.
With technology, what they ought to do is just go ahead and do the computer, right? Where you can print it out on your phone.
Yeah.
Your parking spot.
Yeah. Right.
You bought your spot. Do that before people drive down there.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
pay your credit card online and then get some kind of printout.
Let's just say the drag strip didn't get a lot of friendly emails and friendly messages.
Don't want to be that guy.
Yeah, right. But I think he's counting his money right now, so he can't be that mad right now.
Right. Well, they'll go to the next city.
I think I talked to Dad the other day. I think we're planning on going to Dallas in October. That's they race 24 races throughout the whole year, and the closest one to us now would be Dallas or Ennis, Texas. That would be the closest one to
visit
us.
Jerry Jones is
see that. Mm-hmm.
You could go to Fort Worth and you take in a Texas Rangers game.
Yeah, about a 6-hour drive now. So, but
yeah, not too bad if you want to go down there. But appreciate it, and Jace, for today. And again, everybody, go to our site LAFootballMagazine.com. And look, we're looking for one more intern for the summer.
Yeah, we are.
And you can be in high school if you just want experience, or you could be in college, or if you want a college credit and you're going to be a senior, then we could be the class that you take to get your college credit as an intern for the magazine. It could be under marketing. If you're a mom and dad listening, you have a kid that needs a summer job for internship.
And talk about busiest time.
Yeah.
This is for the summer. Really talk about really good experience. This is the busiest time for us to get this magazine together.
Help us with the magazine, and we've got our podcast. You could be in marketing too, or any of the social media, writing. Get some experience, and it'll help you for when you get to college. You'll be ahead of the game, and then when you get out of college, you get a job because they'll see you got the experience. So we'll see you real soon. We'll actually see you on Monday's show. We'll have our track coach from Edna Carr High School, and you'll enjoy that show. Trust me, it's a great show.
Yeah, we'll go back to our normal video shows too. We'll have a good one for you Wednesday as well. So we'll go back to that too.
We've got the head coach of Mangum High School, Scott Wilcher, which we're ready for that. Scott's going to be coming down from Mangum High School, which they've got a great program. We'll check you out. See you on Monday. Gros Savon Lodge, the true sportsman's paradise. Gros Savon Lodge has fresh and saltwater fishing, alligator hunting, waterfowl hunting, and echo tours located south of Lake Charles, Louisiana. Give them a call at 337-598-2357. That number to call again is 337-598-2357, and have the time of your life. Gage has served Louisiana for over 40 years. Let Gage create a custom-tailored solution for your business and become your partner in technology. Give them a call today at 225-753-4243 and help your business get better connected with Gage.
Thanks for listening to the Sports Scouting Report podcast with Lee Brekeen.